Akios, Matos, and Masay together are really, really quite long. Two massive, massive parshios. You're talking about over 240 psukim. Granted, some of them are really short psukim, but overall some really, really long psukim. What I wanted to do is look at the end of both of the parshios. At the end of both of the parshios, there's such important lessons, yesodistic lessons, so fundamental, that I think these two ideas from Rav Schwab are really like the roots that are holding us to Galus in America. On the Shloshim Yom, I mentioned something a little bit charif, a little bit sharp yesterday, last night, about why we don't feel Tisha B'Av, an idea from Rav Brevda. And there are two ideas that Rav Schwab has that really mamish beautifully dovetail what we mentioned in the Shloshim Yom, that I think is a real challenge during these times. And it starts with a dot. It starts with a dot. We know that the Gemara in Menachos tells us that Rabbi Akiva, anything that's in the Torah, Rabbi Akiva would be Dorish Tili Tilim Shel Halachos. He would interpret mounds and mounds of halachos based on the crowns that are on the letters. If you look in a Sefer Torah, right, the Shat Neskatz has certain letters that have like little crowns, and Rabbi Akiva would learn these numerous allusions and laws and lessons from the crowns. So there's an amazing lesson from Adat, page 916, 917, the end of Matos. So we know that part of Matos is that 2.5 Shvatim came to Moshe to take their inheritance of the land, actually on the eastern side of the Jordan. B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven, and half of Shevet Menashe. In years past, we've discussed that maybe Menashe didn't really want to go. It was only Gad and Reuven, and Moshe broke Menashe in half, asking Menashe to actually go with Gad and Reuven. But we know that one of the B'nai Menashe, famous individual, the Ya'ir ben Menashe, halach v'yilkor es chavoseyim v'yikra eshen chavos Ya'ir. So Ya'ir, one of these members of Menashe, he goes and conquers a certain area, and he calls it Chavos Ya'ir. He calls it the villages of Ya'ir. He conquers the villages on the eastern side, and he calls them the villages of Ya'ir. V'novach halach v'yilkor es kenas v'espinoseha. Novach, a kinsman, he goes and he conquers Kenas, Vespinoseha, the communities around it, Vayikra La, Novach Bishmo. And Novach calls it by his name. So we have two places on Avar Yarden, one called Chavos Yar. What's the other one called? Novach. Novach. Now you look at the word La, right? There's a little asterisk by the Hey, and in the art scroll it says Hey Rafa. It's a weak hay. What does that mean? Look in Rashi. Rashi says, bottom 9:16, right column, I mean, three little lines here. The middle one, Vayikra la Novach, la eno mapik hay. When it says la, Vayikra la Novach, that Novach called it, so you might think that'd be a mapik hay, a dot in the hay. A dot in the hay tells you to pronounce the hay with a certain emphasis. La. Right? You listen to some of the great Baalei Kriya we have here. They're very meduyik, whether it's Moshe Rosenwein, Yossi Cohen, Sali Shanskalil, there's Sam Alexander, that they're very makbid with the hays, the mapik hays, the lo, right? That they pronounce it with real emphasis. So this, Vayikra la, we might think it should have a dot in it, Vayikra la, Novach Bishmo, but it doesn't. Rashi says it doesn't have a dot. Ve'isi b'yisodo shel Rabbi Moshe Hadarshon, and I saw in the teachings of Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, Lefisha lo niskayim lo shem ze, Lefika hurafa, that why is it called, why is it a weak hay? Again, this is like, what are we talking about here? Okay, hold it, just trust me, just humor me, okay? I know this is about as exciting as a lesson in diktuk, that's what we're talking about so far, and ancient Canaanite archaeology. I got it, don't worry. So he says that it wasn't a name that stuck. Novach, the name of Novach didn't stick, and that's why it was a weak hay. Shemashma midrashu kima lo. So vayikra lo, la, is almost like lo, and it wasn't called Novach bishmo. And Rashi says, "V'tamani ma'yidrash b'shtei tevos domus lo." So Rashi says, you know, there are two other times in Tanakh where we find a law that we would think would be a mapakeh that it wasn't, by Boaz and Rus and Nevuas of Zechariah Hanavi. So Rashi says, you know, okay, an interesting thing that that there's no mapakeh, no dot in the hay, because the name Novach didn't stick. And so Rav Schwab asks, okay, so what's the lesson here? What's the lesson? The Torah doesn't just go out of its way to have interesting anomalies in diktuk without a reason. So you want to say the name didn't stick? So why doesn't the name stick? Meaning the Torah is trying to teach us something. And what's interesting, though, is that the name of Chavos Yair, we see in Sefer Shoftim Perik Yud, by Yair HaGiladi, who is not Yair of Chavos Yair, not Yair ben Menashe, but a Shofet by the name of Yair also, Yair HaGiladi, that he conquers major cities in Eretz Canaan, and he actually calls him Chavos Yair. That the name of Chavos Yair really stuck. So what is it about the name of Novach that it doesn't stick, and the name of Chavos Yair that it does stick? So Rav Schwab has Yesod Gadol. He has such a fundamental idea here. It's such a challenge. To me, this is a challenge. But I think that maybe you can relate to this also. And what I think this is the challenge of America, what Rav Schwab is about to lay down. And he says, V'nira, ki adam sheyesh lo nechasim, hari nikruam hanechasim al shemo. When a person has property, material goods, so very often, they're known as being that person's. They're called his, right? Meaning, this is Chaim Sefer, right? This is my Sefer that I got, right? It's known as mine. You look in it, right? It says Chaim Mordechai Marcus in it. Okay? Aval him devarim shechutz lagufo ve'enem chelak me'etzem mitziuso. But it's something that's outside of the person's body. It's not part of his essence or her essence. Elchein shapir asayar shekaros on chavas yoyer. So it was good that Yair ben Menashe referred to these villages as the villages of Yair. That was the name he gave to them. Lahoros, Shechavos HaGilad Shelohema. That these villages in the territory of Gilad were his. Aval Novach, lo kara es Kenas Ir Novach. When he conquered the city of Kenas, he didn't call it Ir Novach, the city of Novach. What did he call it? He called it his name, Novach. Mare Shehu Mizdahe Im Nechosav. That what did Novach really identify with? He identified, who was he? He was his property. Novach was his estate. Novach was his home. Right? The hashkafa kizu eino hashkafa satora. Ulefikach ein lakiyam. And Rav Schwab says, you know why the Torah is telling us that it's law without a mapakeh? You know why the Torah is telling us that the name Novach didn't stick? Because Novach was unfortunately tremendously misguided. What he did was called this grand area that he conquered, this major city that he established, Chaim. Right? He didn't call it the villages of Chaim. He didn't call it the city of Chaim. He called it Chaim. And Rav Schwab says, the Torah is stressing to us, that is not Hashkafas HaTorah. That is not how we identify. A human being does not identify herself with the material goods that are shayich to her. You have to be so careful. And he says that Ulu'umazeh, Machshenechshev l'simen genai etzel novach v'ein lo kiyum. He says where we find this when it comes to material goods and physical matters, that we can't identify ourselves by that. Then we know that in fact we're not even really supposed to identify ourselves in our bodies. Right? You know, Rav Aryeh Kaplan points out in one of his books, if you were God, point to yourself. You shouldn't point here. Where should you point? If you ask a person, point to yourself. You shouldn't go like this. You know where you should point? You should point here. Rahman al-Latsan, I remember when my grandfather was ill at the end of his life, my father's father, and he was just not there, no recognition of anyone, anything. I still remember when I used to go visit him, no response, saba, saba, nothing. My grandmother, Allah Hashem, would often say, just let me keep my mind. Just let me keep my mind. And we know that that's really the identity of a person so much is when it's not your physical body. And there are many things, al pi Kabbalah, Gesundheit, that they say when a person passes away, how connected you were to your body, that's to the degree that there's certain pain that a person feels and the neshama feels, okay, we're not getting scary, we're not getting all Kabbalistic. But it's clear, if Schwab says that a human being is not supposed to identify herself with their material goods. Yeah, they are mine, right? But that's not who I am. Novak said, this is who I am, this city is me. Yair said, these are villages that are shayach to me, these villages aren't me. And Rav Schwab says, whereas we see that when it comes to material goods and physicality, we see just the opposite when it comes to ruchnius, to spirituality. For example, you know how David refers to himself in Perakuftes of Tehillim? You know what David Admach says about himself? He says, Ani Tfila, I am prayer. David says, you know who I am? I am prayer. That's who I am. And we know in Tehillim, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that the first parak of Tehillim that we often say, Kim Bisaras Hashem Chavtso, Uvisaraso Yehege Yomam Valayla, that a righteous person, their desire is in God's Torah. And you know what the next part of the pasuk is? Uvisaraso Yehege Yomam Valayla, and his Torah, he will toil day and night. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yotes Amar Aleph, says at the beginning of the pasuk, whose Torah is it? It's God's Torah, Torah Hashem. And the end of the pasuk, whose Torah is it? It's the person's Torah. The Torah becomes yours. And that's what the Gemara Makos Chav Beis Amad Beis says, that, one of the Amorim says, what fools that they stand up when a Torah is walking by them, but they don't stand up when a Talmud Chacham is walking by them. When a walking Sefer Torah is walking by them, they don't stand up for them. They're idiots, right? Someone asked me, when we had Rabbi Nitzani Tarragon here for Shabbos, should he stand up for her? I said, of course he should stand up for her. You know how much Torah that woman has? I said, every time I introduced her, but if someone introduced her, I would for sure stand up for her. The Torah that she has is unbelievable. She also walking Tanakh. She's awesome. And what Rav Schwab says, when it comes to Torah, when it comes to Tefillah, they become who we are. They become our essence. As David HaMelech says elsewhere, Mibsari Echse Elokim, that even our flesh, David says, in my flesh I see God. That we should even, in our physicality, what should we see? We should see Ruchnias. We shouldn't see ourselves in the physicality. We should see God and we should see in ourselves, we should see Elokus. And he says that when we talk about losases, also, when we talk about averos that we stay away from, a person who doesn't talk falsehood, what do we refer to that person? That's a person of truth. That's an ishemes, right? That's an ishemes. That's a person of truth. Or the pasuk actually says, "Anche kodesh tiun linu basar basad treifalo sochelu," in mishpatim, that you should be holy people to me. Don't eat treif. Meaning, by not eating treif, what happens to the person? You become a holy individual. We know when a person keeps Shabbos, when you keep the losases of Shabbos, what does that do? It transforms you as a person, right? A person that keeps Shabbos is a certain kedusha that affects the person. There's a certain holiness that we're different people. We know that on Shabbos we have that Bina Yisera. On Shabbos, there's a different neshama that you can have from Shabbos when a person keeps Shabbos. And Rav Schwab says that this is what the Torah is highlighting to us. The Torah is focusing us in on, I believe, one of the greatest challenges that we have in America. You know, the roots of Gullus in America. Why did Jews originally come to America? You know, what was the famous line in Europe? Why did they come to America? What was America? It was the Golden of Medina. It was the Golden of Medina. It was the Medina full of gold. And there's no question that there were great financial opportunities. People were living in abject poverty in Russia and Eastern Europe and Mamish. So people came, and there's no question there was material success, Baruch Hashem, support so much Torah. But the question is, how do we identify? Do we identify ourselves with the materialism, with the physical? Or is our essence identified with the Torah, with the Tefillah, with the Ruchnius, with the spiritual? And we mentioned in the Shloshim Yom, that's what Rav Shlomo Brev de Zatzal, a great tzaddik who passed away about 6 years ago. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Aaron Cutler, went to Eretz Yisrael, a Talmud of Rav Elvel Soloveitchik, of the Chazon Ish, Rabbi Chatzkel Levenstein, mamish learned by the greatest gedolim. So, he has a sefer, Yibane HaMikdash, where he points out that why is it in generations before this that you come to Tisha B'Av, people are mamish crying, people are broken. You know, the 3 weeks is a certain sadness, the 9 days start, and then mamish, people, today, it's so hard to feel the pain of Tisha B'Av. And he said, people ask him often, why is that? What's the difference? And he thought very simply, because the gullus of today is the gullus of materialism, of physical pleasure. He said, what was the real loss of Tisha B'Av? Of course, it was horrible loss of life, and sometimes those very vivid kinos, those very descriptive kinos of merciful women eating their children's flesh, cooking their children's flesh, breaks us. But essentially, the loss of Tisha B'Av is a spiritual loss, and that's what we're mourning. It says the more physical focused a person is, the less that individual can really feel the loss of a Tisha B'Av. The loss of a Beis HaMikdash. And maybe this is part of the reason why people struggle today. You know, when you ask kids, kids are the most honest. And with the boys here, we were discussing at Shabbos, like, you want Mashiach, but one of the boys, I won't say who, well, it's not neither yours, it's said, wait, is my house going to go to Israel? Like, hold on, 1 second. I'm not sure if I want Mashiach, my house isn't going to be there, you know? I said, well, you have to make your house worthy of going to Israel. You have to learn in your house. You have to daven. And someone said, wait, but I have to go to Minyan. You know, like, so the boys, they were great. Like, we don't daven there. It's like, your mommy davens. Yeah, my mommy davens. Okay. So making it a house of Torah and mitzvahs. But, you know, it's a very deep question. You want Mashiach? Why do we want Mashiach? And it's a real challenge, and I think this is really the roots of Gullus America. The roots meaning in the sense of what keeps us anchored here. And what we get, unfortunately, such excitement from. We say, Yom Naran time. Zachreinu l'chaim el chafetz b'chaim, kazveinu b'sefer achaim l'mancha l'kim chaim. What does it mean, Zachreinu l'chaim el chafetz b'chaim l'mancha l'kim chaim? So in the Sefer, in his Sefer, Bilvavi Mishkan Evna for Yom Noraim, Ravita Mar Schwartz, he points out that when we daven for life, we're asking Hashem, give me a life that's lived for you. Let me get my excitement out of spirituality. That's what we're davening for, Yom Noraim. We know the challenge. The challenge is that in America, everyone's about, the society is so much about indulgence, about physics. And we all struggle with this. We're human beings. This is, of course, a great challenge that we all have. But this time of the year, especially during these 3 weeks, we're supposed to ask ourselves, do we really miss the Beis HaMikdash? Why do we miss the Beis HaMikdash? You tell everyone there won't be war, there won't be sickness. Okay, those are things we hear in a physical sense. But is that the only reason? That's not the only reason we want the Beis HaMikdash. We want the Beis HaMikdash for Hashem's glory to be revealed to the whole world. We want the Beis HaMikdash that the Shekhinah stops crying. Right? That the world is filled with knowledge of God, that God's presence will become manifest all over. And this is what this little dot in the hay is telling us, Rav Schwab says. What a beautiful Torah, what a sweet Torah, what a challenging Torah. That Novach, who called the city by his name, Novach, it didn't stay. It didn't stay. Because that doesn't have kiyum, nothing physical as kiyum. But Chavos Yair, who understood what's Iker and what's Tafel, he understood that this is the villages of Yair. But this isn't Yair. I'm not my house. I'm not my car. I'm not my clothes. I'm not the food that I eat. Something. I'm Tefillah. I'm Torah. I'm Chesed. That's who I am. That has Kiyum, because only spirituality has Kiyum. Only spirituality stays with us. And if that wasn't enough, now let's turn to the end of Maaseh. I should just stop there, right? That's enough. I apologize. I'm not, that's such an intense idea, at least for me. I'm still working on it. I learned this idea and I'm still struggling with it. Still struggling to keep the proper perspective. But the end of Maaseh, page 934. Now we have a real conundrum here. right? So we know that the Benos Tzalavchad come to Moshe to ask him what the halacha is. They want to inherit their father. Their father was not part of Korach. He wasn't part of the Meraglim. He died for his own sins. So what's the halacha? They're going to inherit their father. Okay? So look actually in Pasuk Vav. Okay? Pasuk Vav, the bottom of 932. So they want to know, going forward, okay, they're going to inherit their father. So now, are there any restrictions? This is the thing that Hashem commanded the Benos Tzalavchad, saying, whoever is fit in your eyes, that's who you should marry. However, but you should marry people from your father's Shevet. Why? Because your father Shevet, if you marry someone from different Shevet, they're going to... But one second. The beginning of the Pasuk is what? Latov be'nehem tiyena l'nashim. And in fact, the Gemara in Baba Basra, Kuf Chaf Amid Aleph, tells us that they were allowed to marry anyone. They were allowed to marry anyone they want. The first part of the Pasuk. Zeh adavar sher tziva Hashem. This is what Hashem commanded. Latov be'nehem tiyena l'nashim. Whoever you want, marry. That's it. So what's the second part of the pasuk? Ach l'mishpachas matei avim tiena l'nashim. The Gemara says that that was an etza. That was an etza. That was a piece of advice that Hashem was giving them. Right? That, listen, you know, it would make sense to marry someone from your father's Shevet, because that way, you know, his name will live on, his property will live on with his Shevet amongst the family of Menashe. Now turn the next pasuk, Yud. In Yid Aleph, Kasher Tziva Adonai Es Moshe Kenosu Benos Slavcha. Just as Hashem commanded Moshe, so too the Benos Slavcha did. Vatiena Machla Sirtz of Chagla Milka Venoad Benos Slavcha Levenei Dodehen Linashim. They married their cousins. They married their first cousins, meaning their uncles, their father's brothers, sons were the ones that they married. Right. So we see that what did they do? They took God's advice. Right. But what did the pasuk say? Pasuk Yud. How did it start? Kasher tziva Hashem, as Moshe kenasu b'nos tzalavchad, the way Hashem commanded. Did Hashem command that they had to marry their cousins? No. Hashem commanded that what? Marry whoever you want. There was an etza tova, a good piece of advice was, l'mishpachas matei avim tiyena l'nashim. Right? That was a good piece of advice. Marry people from your Shevet, from Shevet Menashe. So how do you understand this? Why the Pasuk later, Pasuk Yud, calls it Kasher Tziva Hashem as Moshe, as Hashem commanded Moshe? So the answer is the Gemara Baba Metzia Lamed Amud Beis, a very famous Gemara, a very disturbing Rabbi Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, L'charva Yerushalayim, Ela al Shehemidu Dinehem, Al Din Torah, Velo Avdu Lefnim Mishur Sadin. Rabbi Yochanan said, you know why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Because the people were makbid, they were very meticulous about doing the din Torah, doing what the halacha said, and they didn't act lefnim mishuras hadin. They didn't go beyond the letter of the law. What does that mean? What does that mean? Why was the Beis HaMikdash? What do you mean? If people were keeping halacha, right? If people were keeping the din Torah, what the instruction manual said, so the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they didn't do lefnim mishuras hadin, they didn't go above and beyond what was actually required by the law itself. So what Rav Schwab says, he answers that question with this Gemara. What was so bad about just doing din Torah, not going lefnim mishuras hadin? You have to understand, he says, derechei darchei noam v'chol nesivosei ha'shalom. Not everything that the Torah tells you to do is a tzivui. Not everything that Hashem wants is a commandment. There are certain things that are etzos, that are advice from God, that are advisable, not commandments, that you're going to get an X mark in heaven if you don't do. But he says that, and this is, he finds numerous places in Mishlei where Shlomo HaMelech, according to Chazal, he refers to Eitza. Li Eitza v'soshia ni bina lo avu la'etza la'atzasi. That Eitza, ki goy oyved Eitzos hema. That Eitzos is referring to Torah time and time again. that really what the Torah is telling us and what the Benos Slavchad are demonstrating for us is that God gave a commandment, marry whoever you want. But then he gave advice. It's good advice to marry your cousin. So how did they view it? Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe kenasu Benos Slavchad. They viewed that, what God recommended, as a tzivui. This is connected to the famous idea that the Ramban has in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, that a person can keep every halacha, and be a menuvel b'rishus haTorah. Could be a low life. A low life with, quote-unquote, the Torah's permission. You can keep halacha, but you can mamish be a low life. How can that be? Because if a person looks at the Torah as purely a legal system, that's all it is. I cross my T's and dot my I's, that's it. I just tell me what I have to do. It's not what the Torah wants, right? The Torah is about what? What is Judaism about? It's about a relationship with Hashem, right? Any person's in a relationship that starts seeing the relationship as a job, that's really an early. Tell me what I have to do my job. Just tell me what I have to do my job. Even most jobs today, they're not happy if you just do your job like a job, right? You have to love it, and you have to give it your all, and you have to live it, no?
You gotta believe it.
Right? Of course. That's why you gotta choose something that you love to do. Otherwise, it's Shver Zachin. But when we talk about Torah, mitzvahs, living a life of Torah, mitzvahs, it's not about committing yourself to the legal system. It's about loving God. It's about forming a Torah personality. And this is the famous Teretz Rav Aaron Kotler in the Mishnah Rabbi Aaron gives to a famous question. We all know the song. I'm assuming most of us are familiar with the song that God offered the Torah to all the other nations and they said, what's in the Torah? Right? They said, what's in the Torah? Right? Esav says, what's in the Torah? And Hashem says, don't kill. He says, I'm sorry. I can't do that. I live by my sword. Of course, I can't do it. Okay. Yishmael says, what's in it? One version says, Hashem says, you can't steal. What do you mean? Yadova kol v'yad kol adam bo. Another nation, you can't commit adultery. What are you talking about? We're shatuf bezima. We're so immoral. Hashem says, okay, you don't want my Torah? I'll give it to the Jewish people. Rav Aaron Kotler, everyone asks this question. What's the famous question on this? It's a medrash. It's a medrash in a number of places. What's the famous question on that medrash? Ah, psych, you silly non-Jews. Because you know what three of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach are? Three of the seven Noahide laws are don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. So what did they get by saying no to the Torah? They can't do those things anyway. You hear the question? Mm-hmm. Right? It's a famous question. So Rabbi Aaron Kotler says, Elamai, what's the difference? The difference is that the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach are exactly that. They're a legal system. They're commandments. You're not allowed to kill. You're allowed to want to kill. You're not allowed to commit adultery. You could want to steal. But when it comes to Torah, living a life of Torah means that Torah should affect the personality. You shouldn't want to kill. You shouldn't want to commit adultery. You shouldn't want to steal. If a person lives a life with Emunah, she's not going to be driven to these things. A person that's committed to Torah mitzvahs, not merely as a legal system, but as understanding that Torah mitzvahs is to connect to Hashem in the deepest way possible, that's what it means. I need tefillah, I need Torah. Torah so, yege yomam v'loilot, it's Torah Hashem. But when you start striving in it, it becomes your Torah. This is a person who understands that God's advice, of course it's something I'm going to do. Right? Of course it's something you're going to do. Right? When your doctor gives you advice. Right? The doctor advises you. I advise you. Right? If you're chacham in of berosho, you know that's what's best for you. So of course you have to start to do that. So when the Torah gives advice, take it or leave it. Whatever you have, you'd be an idiot to leave it. Of course you have to jump at it. And that's where Rav Schwab says the Gemara in Bava Metzia Lamed Beis means that you know why Jerusalem was destroyed? Because everyone, tell me what the law is. I don't want to do more. Just tell me what I have to do. If that's a person's perspective on Judaism, right? How long is it going to last? How meaningful is that Judaism? We could understand the Ben Yoyada. Farshim say, wait, the Gemara Yoma says that why was the second base something destroyed? Because of Sinas Chinam. A person who's living Torah, just tell me what the halacha is. There's like such a sinna towards God. It sounds like such a fabisan person. I don't want to do anything more than I have to. How do you think that person's going to look at other people? How do you think such a person is going to relate? Because it was also in the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, not only Bein Adam L'Makom. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, tell me what the halach is. Really, you should give more to that guy. No, I'm not giving more to that guy. I just want to do what the strict halach is telling me. You can't give in a little bit to that. But yeah, you're right, but compromise a little, give a little. No, I'm not going to give. I'm not. Right? So that's why Yushalayim was nechra, Rabbi Yochanan says. That's why Yushalayim is destroyed, because people can give in a little. People, tell me what the law is. They couldn't understand what it is to go above and beyond the law. And that's what he's saying the Benos Tzalavchad teach us. And that's why after the story of Benos Tzalavchad, what's the last pasuk of Sefer Bamidbar? Eila ha-mitzvos ha-mishpatim asher tziva Hashem b'yad Moshel b'nei Yisrael barvos mo'aval yardin yirecho. That's what we have to understand. That this is really what Torah Mitzvahs is all about. It's about seeking out that relationship with Hashem. It's about understanding that of course there's leeway. Of course there's time that we might have to use that leeway. But we have to understand that the system of Torah Mitzvahs is about creating that relationship. And that, again, it connects to the other idea that we're saying. The other idea of that missing dot in the hay, of the mapik hay, of novach b'shmo. I think it really is about what we view as primary and what we view as secondary in life. A person who views ruchnius, their spiritual goals, as primary, identifying everything material and physical as secondary, such a person will chase after what they believe the Ratzon Hashem is, even if it might not be the halacha, b'diuk. Might not be exactly the halacha, but what's the Ratzon Hashem? Right? And this is something that, again, I think to really feel the 3 weeks, to really, you know, a Jew could look at it, well, what do I need the Beis HaMikdash for? I keep Shabbos, I keep kosher, I keep, right? You could, that's what, but if you care about Hashem, if it's not only about the checks and minuses in the sky, if it's not only about reward and punishment, but if it's about love of God and being in a deep, intimate relationship with the master of the entire universe, so we know God is crying every day. Numerous times a day, God screams out, woe to the father that had to send away the children from his table. Woe to the children that were sent away from the father's table. So that's why this whole tekufa, this whole period, it is not about the halachas per se. It's about the feeling. It's about a relationship. It's about looking at the broader picture. And Hashem should just help us all. I know these were harsh truths tonight. I apologize. This is an intense shiur. But come on, it's 3 weeks. If we're not going to have an intense shiur now, when are we going to have it? Yom Nerom we'll have. Okay, Yom Nerom we'll have. But as we said on Shabbos, this is all Hachana. This past Shabbos, right, we said 10 Haftoros now, taking us to Erev Rosh Hashanah. So Hashem should just help us that we can really feel what these times are supposed to be about, understanding what it means to be in that relationship with Hashem. And Hashem should give us the courage and the strength to be able to chase after His will. Shkoyach.